Good day, beloved children of God. This is Father Ivan Olmo of St. Mary Catholic Church and School. Today we will be reflecting on the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Please join me now in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How the chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophet spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures." As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave them the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in and stayed with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we beg you now to please open our lips to praise your holy name. Cleanse our minds and our hearts of any worthless, evil, and distracting thoughts, feelings, or desires. Please, we beg you, give us the wisdom and the love to pray now, right now, with attention, reverence, and true devotion. Sweet Father, beloved Father, let our prayer be heard in your presence, for it is offered through Christ, your beloved Son, our risen Savior. Do you hunger for Jesus in the Eucharist? Do you desire to receive his body and blood, his soul and divinity? Do you hunger and thirst to receive the gifts that come from the heart of Jesus in the Eucharist? Grace, blessing, healing, love, mercy, pardon, peace. Do you behold the risen one in the Eucharist? Can you see the beating heart of Jesus in the Eucharist? Do you hear the whisper of his voice say to you, "Come to me, all you who are burdened, all you who labor, come to me, learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." Come, and you will find rest in me. When the priest elevates Jesus, and the priest becomes a monstrance for the Lord, a holy vessel to hold in his venerable hands the sacred heart of Jesus, when he says, as John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Do you behold? Are you attentive? Or is your mind wandering as it wanders right now, wondering what later would bring? Are you preoccupied with all your concerns? Are you full of fear because of the unknown? Are you full of questions? Do you doubt? Is your faith the size of a mustard seed? Can it move mountains? Can it move the barriers that you place between you and the risen one? See, at Mass, we forget that there's two tables, and we long for one table, but we ignore the other one. The other table is the table of the Word. And in the road to Emmaus, Jesus shows us how one table will prepare us in order to feast from the other one. That one table is meant to form our hearts, to set our hearts on fire, to set our hearts with a longing, with a desire, to let our hearts feel like a parched land, that hunger and thirst for the bread of life. As Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. That even we say that these words, may they remain on our minds, and we sign ourselves with the cross. May they remain on our lips, and we sign ourselves with the cross. May they remain in our hearts, and we sign ourselves with the cross. That we must be attentive to Jesus in the table of the Word in order to partake in the table of the Eucharist. When was the last time that you were fed from the table of the Word? When was the last time that you broke open a Bible and allow Scripture to speak to you and set your heart on fire with a love for Jesus? We are reminded that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And when we feel that the bridegroom has been taken away from us, are we fasting from the world and feasting on the Word? That is the road to Emmaus. That is the Mass itself. That we who are walking in other paths, we who have strayed from the flock, we who are fleeing from Jerusalem, we who do not want to deny ourselves and take up our cross, we run to other things. We run away from Jesus. And we come into the Mass, first of all, acknowledging our sinfulness. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. And then we repent and we desire conversion and amendment of life. And Jesus comes to us in His Word. Are we attentive to the Word at that moment? When we say, this is the gospel of the Lord, and we say, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, do we realize that it was Jesus who just spoke to us? He spoke to us His words of everlasting life. Did we receive them? Because God the Father is sowing the seed of His Son's Word into our hearts. At that moment when Scripture is being read, when Scripture is being read, when the Bible is being broken open for us, and our Lord is scattering all those seeds, are our hearts hardened like rocky soil? Are our hearts burning with fire? They're open and receptive like the Immaculate Heart of Mary, who receives the Word and bears good and everlasting fruit. Lord, to whom shall we go at this moment? You have the words of everlasting life. And after the proclamation of the gospel, we hear through the words of the gospel, may our sins be wiped away. These words are efficacious. We even say in the Mass, Lord, I am not worthy, but just say the word and my soul shall be healed. And Jesus says, do you believe that I can do this? Do you have faith the size of a mustard seed? Saint Isidore said, prayer purifies us, but reading instructs us that if someone wants to always be in God's company, that he must pray regularly and read Scripture regularly. He said, when we pray, we talk to God, but when we read Scripture, God talks to us. that by reading we learn what we did not know, but by praying we retain what we have learned. That reading Holy Scripture confers two benefits from us and for us. It trains the mind to understand Scripture. It's being broken open, and then it turns all our attention from the follies of this world, and it leads us to love God more, to burn for God with a love beyond all telling in our hearts, so that we can see Him in the breaking of the bread. And one of the ways that we can pray with Scripture in order to prepare ourselves for Holy Communion, even spiritual Holy Communion, is Lectio Divina, reading the Divine Word. And it's a four-step process. After we read the Scripture, we must ask ourselves, what does the text say? What does it actually say? And then ask, what does it say to me? What is Jesus saying to me? And then, what do I want to say to the text? What do I want to say to Jesus? Jesus is the Word of everlasting life. He is the gospel. He is the Word of God. And then finally, what is the Lord inviting me today, right now, after hearing these words? What is He inviting me to do, to convert, to transform, to heal? What action is He asking of me after I read this text? It's important to know that what we read is always Jesus speaking to us. Remember, in prayer, we speak to God, but in Scripture, God speaks to us. And like the road to Emmaus and all these beautiful Bible stories, in Scripture, in prayer, we put ourselves into the scene and we read with attention and with respect and reverence the Holy Word of God. And we say to ourselves, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then we say, Lord, please listen, for your servant is speaking. So in the text, who are you? Who are you in this road to Emmaus? Perhaps it should be called the road to the wrong direction. Or perhaps it should be called Two Tables. Who are you in this scene? Put yourself into the situation and ask yourself, who am I in the scene? And allow the text to invite you to identify with someone and to listen to Jesus saying what He's saying to you in the text, what He's saying you today. What emotions arise from you reading the text? Does it bring you joy? Does it bring you anger? Does it confuse you? Does it challenge you? Does it check you? You have to enter into the text and let the text, the Holy Spirit, move your heart. One of the saints said that contemplation was like gazing upon a sunset, that reading this text is like being in love because it sets our hearts on fire, and that in the text we simply rest with the Lord and allow the Lord to tell us through the text how we should change our life. What is the Lord inviting you to do today? Perhaps He might be inviting you to look at Mass in a different way. Yes, Jesus is truly present in the Holy Eucharist. It is the source and summit of our faith. We need the manna that has come to us from heaven. This is true food and true drink, and we can't live without it. But how do you approach Jesus in the sacrament? Do you behold him? Are you attentive to him? We need to hear first his words in Scripture. We must pray with the text and allow the Lord to break open our hearts, to set our hearts on fire so that we can truly see him in the breaking of the bread.